Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Ephesians. We've come to chapter 4, verses 25 through 29. Chapter 4, verses 25 through 29. Let us hear the holy, inspired, and inerrant word of our Lord. Beginning at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessarily edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you will bless your word as we look into it now and we study it. Speak to us. Speak to us about our lives, our holiness. Lord, we pray that you will teach us and press your word on our hearts. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. You know, if you're not feeling well or you're having some health issues, you go to your doctor and he or she will ask you what symptoms you're having, because symptoms often indicate what the problem is. Symptoms are important because if we didn't have them, we would be in bad shape. We'd be in a lot of trouble. So the Lord gave us symptoms, and they are important. They are an indicator that something is wrong. I believe in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul reveals symptoms of spiritual illness. So you can gauge your spiritual health as we look at these verses. The way it's written seems to indicate that the church at Ephesus was having some of these spiritual illnesses. If you have these symptoms, then the old nature is taking control of you and you have to deal with it so that you can be restored to good health. We all need to do that. You may not have all the symptoms here, but maybe you have some of them, and maybe to one degree or another. But let's look at them together and see what symptoms these are and what the remedy is and what the Lord tells us. Well, the first thing I'd like you to notice is the symptom of untruthfulness. The symptom of untruthfulness. You see this in verse 25. Notice he addresses this idea of being truthful. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his brother, for we are members of one another. Symptoms of untruth. This is what happens when people start lying, even telling little white lies. So I think the truth here is, first of all, to embrace the truth. It says, put away lying. Put away lying. It's like he's saying, now get rid of this. You know how bad it is. And if you have these symptoms, do something about it. You know, you may have this problem with some people about telling the truth. Maybe it's because it's easier and you don't have to deal with things. And it's interesting, this text is speaking primarily to believers. You know, there are Christians at times. We do have problems. People have problems with truthfulness. But I want you to notice how serious a lie and untruthfulness can be. I'd like to look at Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is a story about Ananias and Sapphira, how they had property and they sold it, and they kept some of the money back for themselves, but they told the church they had given all of it to them for the church to use. Look at verse 1, Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Now, the same thing happened to his wife. She came in and said the same thing. But you see, there's some interesting things here. First of all, you see that the Holy Spirit is a person, because you can't lie to the wind or to a door or to any inanimate thing. You can only lie to a person. And secondly, you see how serious this was. I mean, they had land, they sold it, and they said, let's just tell the church we're giving it all. We'll keep some back for ourselves. It'll make us look better. You might think, well, that's really not, is that really a bad thing that they did that? I mean, maybe it wasn't right. But you see what happened to them. And it says those that heard it, they had fear, great fear. You might ask yourself, well, why were they afraid? Well, because of the seriousness of lying, most likely. But then also, they're human beings like we are. Maybe some of them were guilty of not telling all the truth in certain situations. Maybe not here with the church, but in other situations in life. Maybe they wondered if they would be next as they sat there and listened. You know, we're told to put away, put it away. And it means to remove from, to don't think about it, to get rid of it. You know, when you clean out your house, maybe every so often, maybe you'll go through your attic or your garage or wherever you store things, and you find something there that's been there probably all your life that you've held on to, and you've never used it, and it just sits there, and you say, well, I'll just save it. And then you think, well, you know what? I haven't used it. And it's probably going to be here in another 5 years, another 10 years when I look through this. So I'm just going to toss it, and you get rid of it. It's gone. That's the idea here with untruthfulness. Get rid of it. Throw it out. Have nothing to do with it. Put it away. So that's the first thing to have as a remedy for the symptom of untruthfulness. Secondly, not only embrace the truth, but speak the truth. Speak the truth. Notice he says, each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Do you speak the truth with others and your neighbor, other believers? You know, that's this not speaking the truth is a sign of symptoms of spiritual illness. We're all accountable for the words that come out of our mouth. And the word speak means continually speak the truth. All the time. And you know, that's hard to do sometimes when you have to tell someone the truth. I remember when my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, that I was with her, and the doctor was really having a hard time as he sat down. He was beginning to talk to her, and you know, he said, I've got some really bad news. I'm sorry I have to tell you this. I don't like doing this. And then he told her that she had very severe pancreatic cancer and she would not live very long. And I could tell it was hard for him to do that, and yet he did it. Sometimes speaking the truth can be very difficult, but that's what we're to do. Thirdly, the third thing he says is live the truth. That's the third remedy for the symptom of untruthfulness. Live the truth. We are members of one another. It's an awful thing when you have to deal with people who do not live a life of truth and honesty. If honesty doesn't characterize your life, that's a symptom of spiritual illness. Be truthful to others because you want them to be truthful to you, don't you? That includes even shading the truth. Live the truth. Look at Proverbs 12:22 for a moment. Proverbs 12:22. It says this, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. You see that? Lying lips are an abomination to God. Not just not pleased with it, but an abomination, which means it's really, really serious. Telling the truth is always important because you never know when you're going to get caught. There were two Duke University students that had to learn this the hard way. They both were straight-A students at Duke University, but they missed the final exam in chemistry because they stayed too long at a party the night before. So they thought, what are we going to tell the professor? So they came up with an excuse that they had a flat tire and couldn't get it changed in time. Well, they told the professor, and the professor made up a special final exam for two of them. But what he did, he put them in separate rooms, made sure they went in to separate rooms. The first question on the exam, there was only two questions, was surprising. The first one was kind of a basic chemistry question, and it was worth 5 points. But the second question was worth 95 points. And you know what the question was? What tire on the car was flat? And, of course, they were in different rooms, so they had no way of collaborating on this, and they got themselves into a lot of trouble. See, truthfulness, honesty. Our Savior always spoke the truth. He always spoke it to everyone, and he wants us to be like him and to speak the truth. The second symptom I'd like you to notice here, the second symptom of spiritual illness, is the symptom of uncontrolled anger. Again, he's addressing his issue, so there must have been some issues at this church. But he says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Symptom of uncontrolled anger. So what's the solution? What's the remedy? Well, don't let anger control you. Notice what it says, be angry and do not sin. Now, that's kind of a difficult thing to do, but we have to understand that we can be angry at things and not sin. We can be angry at evil, angry at things that lie, people that lie, or angry at different things, but we're not supposed to sin, to respond incorrectly. Be angry is a command, actually. But be angry and do not sin. Actually, that can be translated, stop sinning. Can also be translated that way. It was going on, and they had to stop it. Be angry with sin and unrighteousness, but don't seek revenge. Make your anger go away. Talk to yourself. Take the scriptures and use it. Remember, the Lord can take care of dealing with others in a much better way than you can and I can. Control your anger. Do not let anger control you. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 18 through 19. We have some clarity here on this situation. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 through 19. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Don't avenge yourself, I will revenge. It's my job, the Lord is saying. My job. You do what the scripture calls you to do, what it calls me to do. One writer said that the best way to try and destroy an enemy is to try and make him your friend. The results would be the best way, but it's not always possible, as the scripture just said. But that's what we could try to do, if possible. The second thing, we talk about symptoms of uncontrolled anger, how we deal with this. Do not let anger go unchecked. Do not let it go unchecked. You see this in the second part of verse 26, where it says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And again, could be stop letting the sun go down on your wrath. Don't carry it into the next day or the day after. Make sure you deal with sin. You don't want to carry this. This is not the proper response. Deal with it immediately. As I said, remember, the Lord is much better at dealing with this, at dealing with unrighteousness than you and I are. Do not let anger eat away at you so that you can't sleep and you hold on to it for a long time. If you are holding on to it, you have a symptom of spiritual illness, symptom of uncontrolled anger. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Thirdly, verse 27, do not let anger cause you to sin. See verse 27. It says, nor give place to the devil. Again, could be stop giving place to the devil. He loves to get his fingers into your life and to all that's going on. But you don't deal with these things, this issue, in a proper way. It gives the evil one an opportunity to do great harm to you and those around you. Remember, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, talking to his people. He also tells us to love our enemies. This is the other treatment for symptoms of uncontrolled anger. Remember, if anyone had a right to be angry and express anger, it was the Lord Jesus. How he was betrayed and all the lies and everything that went on. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord's table reminds us that Jesus had a righteous anger. At one time, he went in and into the temple and turned the tables over and chased out the money changers. But it was a righteous anger. And we ought to get, and when we get angry, it is to be a righteous anger. The third thing I'd like you to notice is the symptom of ungratefulness in verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. See, here's another one. The symptom of ungratefulness, where we don't appreciate what we have when we always want more, something different, something better. Well, we have that symptom of ungratefulness that we don't think the Lord is being fair and right to us. That's a symptom of ungratefulness. The first thing, the first remedy, is the virtue of ownership. Notice what it says. Let him who stole steal no longer. Again, could be stop stealing. Let him who steals stop it. Don't let the temptation to have everything you want at one time right away cause you to fall into sin. You know, I knew a couple that came here from another country. It was a very poor country. And when they came here, they started looking for things, clothing, cars, and everything. And of course, they offered them credit and everything. And they, it was one of those times when that's what they were doing. And they wound up with a lot of nice, nice things. But they wound up with debt that they both had to work full time. And he had to work a part-time job too, just to pay for it. Couldn't wait till everything came together, till he made money. Be content. If you're not content, you have a symptom of ungratefulness. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's interesting he puts that on. He just doesn't stop where it says, be content with such things as you have. But he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, saying, I'll know your needs. I know what you need, and I will provide them. I remember hearing of several people who were involved in illegal things, and they came to faith in the Lord Jesus, and they went to the authorities and turned themselves in. Many of them were crimes that the officials, police, were not able to figure out because they knew it was wrong, and they knew that they were responsible for this. Do you know a burglary, three burglaries occur about every minute here in the United States? Three burglaries. In 1 minute, every minute here in the United States. people cannot wait to own proper things, to work for proper things. The virtue of ownership. The second thing is found in 28b, which is the virtue of work. So if we have a symptom of ungratefulness, then we understand the virtue of ownership. The people own things. Secondly, the virtue of work. Honest work is good. You notice he says good here. It says, let him working with his hands what is good. Not so many people are involved with work that is not good, illegal, doing things that are wrong. You look at the whole thing of internet and business and you realize how many people are out there trying to lock up computers and all kinds of things to cause problems and demand ransoms, and it just goes on. But he's saying here, spend time. Do the right thing. Don't try to cheat others or do illegal things. Do good and profitable things, profitable work. That's what's good. That's what's pleasing to God. And it's not wrong to make a lot of money doing what you do if it's a good thing or an honest thing that you're doing. But it's important that we work. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10 for a moment. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. That's how the early church viewed work. People are to work and do the right thing. I met a man, I guess about the time we were married, maybe a year after we were married, who was a professional gambler. He went from city to city gambling. Well, the Lord converted him, and he opened a pizza and sub shop up in Carlisle to earn a living the proper way. And so people told me here, I was going up there a lot on business and said, stop in and see this guy, talk to him, tell him about yourself. He was converted, and you know, so I went up one day and went in the pizza shop and got something to eat and asked for him to come out, and he talked to me, and he told me, and he wanted to know my conversion. And anyhow, we got talking. He says, well, finish your lunch, and then I'll take you out back. And when a Sicilian says to you, I'll take you out back, that is not always a good thing. But that's what he told me. So I probably ate a little slower than I normally do. But he took me out the back door, and we went in. It was a big warehouse that was behind his shop. And we went in there, and he started telling the people that were working there to pull these books off the shelf, get this, this, and this, and pull all these books. And he had three big stacks of hardbound books that were on the table, on the counter. And he looked at me and says, here you go. He said, this will get you started on the right way. And I looked at him and I said, I can't pay this. I said, I'm on a real tight budget right now. He said, I haven't been married too long. And he said, no. He said, this is my ministry. I give books out to people. That's what I do. So he's with the Lord now. But I will never forget that, how he ministered to me through that. Work what is good. Do what is good. And the Lord will bless. Thirdly, the virtue of giving. You notice what he says here, that he may have something to give him who has need. You know, we often think of working just to provide for ourselves. But the purpose of work is also to take care of others who have genuine needs. And I say genuine because we have to give carefully when we give. We can't be naive. Let people steal from us or get money that's not right. And so we got to be very careful of whom we help and whom we give money to. But you see, that's part of it. Part of the heart of a Christian is to help others where they can. That's what's important. I remember a story told to me about a man who was at the airport and his plane was kind of delayed a little, so he grabbed a large cookie at one of the counters and sat down aside of another man. And he sat down there and he was looking at some stuff, and he looked at, and he looked at the guy sitting aside of him, and he had this big cookie. And he thought, this guy took my cookie. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. So the man looked at him and smiled. He didn't speak English, but he smiled. So this man reached over and broke a piece of the cookie off. And he took it himself and ate it. He thought, the audacity this guy has of taking my cookie when I didn't have anything to eat. Well, then the man smiled and he broke a piece off and he held it over to the guy, and then he broke another piece off. And then eventually they finished and his plane took off and he just kind of waved goodbye to him. But what happened was, when he got on the plane, he was looking through his bag and there was his cookie. Here what happened was, he was eating the other man's cookie. And he thought the other man was eating his. And that man was so kind and gracious to let him do that, that he would share it without even asking. And it really caused him a heavy heart when he thought about that. You know, be ungrateful, be grateful, be kind, be giving. The Lord's table reminds us of just how much the Lord has given to us and what we are to remember as we think of all that he gave to us. The fourth thing and last thing I'd like to look at is the symptoms of unwholesome language. The symptoms of unwholesome language in verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Unwholesome language. You hear this sometimes from people who profess to be Christians. Dirty words and dirty language. And you see, the word corrupt means rotten, bad, dirty words. And then let no corrupt thing, word, proceed out of your mouth. Not just even one word. And again, stop this. Stop letting this happen. This refers not just to the third commandment, but any evil or bad talk or language. Look at Colossians 4:6 for a moment. Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6 says this: let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may now know how you ought to answer each other. With truth, being honest. I remember I was training someone in business, and this young man started taking God's name in vain constantly. So I talked to him about it. I asked him if he would stop doing that. And he apologizes. I'm sorry. He said, I didn't realize I said that. Well, then he stopped for a while, but then it happened again, and I had to talk to him again. He said, you know, this is terrible, but I don't even know I'm saying it. It just is so, comes so natural to me to take God's name in vain, and it's wrong. So I talked to him about that and what the, how the Lord said, shall not take his name in vain, and those who do shall not go unpunished. Notice the use of words. That's what's important. If you use bad, unwholesome language, sign of sickness, symptoms. Secondly, notice the value of words, but what is good for necessary edification. This word but is very strong. But what is good? Building up in respect of a need, talking good words, encouraging. Think about what others need to hear to be encouraged, to encourage them and help them with things that they're dealing with. You can be a great blessing to someone who has need to be encouraged, or you can be a weight that discourages them. One of the things we have to do with the value of words is get the facts before you speak. Don't speak before you think. That's another thing we tend to do, don't we? Well, there was a woman from a church, and she saw a married man at a restaurant with another woman. And she was watching him. And when they left, they stood up and he walked out. He gave her a kiss on the cheek. Well, this woman went berserk and called people and so on. And And the elders checked into it. Here, it was the man's sister who came in out of town to visit him. So he didn't get the facts straight. They were wrong. The third thing, notice the benefits of words. Impart grace to hearers. And that word, that is a purpose clause in the language, which means for this purpose, do this. That it can give grace to the hearers, to those who are continuing to hear to you. What do people tell you? Oh, you don't have to do that. Just let everything out, right? Isn't that what modern psychology says? If there's an issue, you lay it all on the table. You say whatever you want to say. Get it all out. That's what most modern psychologists say. But you know what the Bible says? Look at Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. That's the answer. That's the answer. We use wisdom when we speak. And we pray, and we try to speak and do what is right. If you have a symptom of a unwholesome language, it could be you need to deal with these issues. So we have symptoms of spiritual illness. Do you find yourself with any of these symptoms that you need to deal with? We're coming to the Lord's table today. We come as sinners saved by grace, and maybe this is the time to talk to our Savior about those symptoms and what you've been doing and confess your sin and ask for his forgiveness. So do we have spiritual illness, any symptoms? I think we all have some that we need to deal with, don't we? This passage is telling you and me to deal with those symptoms. Don't let them have a place in your heart and life. They need to go. Now, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and he will give you strength to deal with them. No one likes to have symptoms of any illness. That's why you go to the doctor or to the hospital. You want them to go away. And you feel much better when the symptoms are gone. And you will feel much better spiritually if you get rid of these symptoms. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, let's remind ourselves that our Savior freed us from the bondage of sin by paying for our sins so that we can be free from spiritual symptoms and the bondage of sin. Let's lay our spiritual symptoms at the foot of his cross as we come to meet him at his table. Lord, bless this word, we pray. Help us all to look at our hearts. Do we have symptoms we need to deal with? We pray that you will reveal them to us, that we might be more holy and do what pleases you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.